Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we're going to keep doing this for our House Street listeners, and it's a 50% off offer. And try to take advantage of it, because you can't do it on the website without the promo code, which is 2022 half off, 2022 HALFOFF, just as it sounds. You go to VRTrader.com, and as you know, we have a bunch of newsletters, resource, metal letter, cannabis letter, market timing letter, blockchain letter for crypto, all kinds of goodies. So the main letter that I would recommend would be the platinum letter, because that covers all the markets. It has nothing to do with platinum, but that's the name for it. And I also want to disclose that I've been doing this for 44 years in one form or another, but I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I give financial advice. There was a time when I did, years and years ago, but not now.
Mark, it looks like the war on the U.S. dollar-centric world is on. The BRICS held their meetings over the past week. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. The Saudis and the United Arab Emirates have now joined BRIC. So we'll have to probably change the anachronism. Yes.
I think it used to be BRIC and now it's BRICS.
But now we have the Saudis and United. And next year, Iran plans to join. And their goal is to stop world trade in U.S. dollars and perhaps come up with their own currency, I would think.
Well, it's sort of funny because the dollar, U.S. dollar, continues strong. In fact, it closed at its highest level today, in quite a bit of time at the recent low. I'm looking at the ETF that mirrors the U.S. dollar index, and, the U.S. dollar index, broke out about 10 days ago, and now it's still moving higher. Gold and silver and everything, sort of trades inversely to it. They had like a little pop yesterday and a little bit today, but they start to falter as the dollar moved up. So, I don't know what to say. I've read a lot of stuff. The intention, from Putin all the way to Iran is to, and China included. There's some videos you can pull up on the BRICS conference where you see President Xi signing papers with some African countries and doing some fun stuff. The world seems to be against us. A lot of the world seems to be against the dollar, and probably the U.S. as well. But the dollar index, the dollar itself, continues to maintain strength. So, I read some comments about some of the participants, and many are talking big but don't want to make waves when it really comes down to it. And of course, there was a story that an alternate currency was going to be created at this conference, which is not happening, and it was supposed to be backed by gold. And then the issue is, how do you price gold? What is it worth relative to that currency? The day may come. We know that digital currencies are around the corner. They're testing it at banks. We're going to wake up on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning and find out that we don't have cash in our accounts anymore. We got digital tokens representing the cash. So things could happen fast and change quickly. But as far as BRICS and the U.S. dollar and gold and everything, at the moment, there's a lot of talk, but nothing has happened that's tangential. And I think the world as a whole you know, they talk a big talk, but what it really comes down to, they flee to the U.S. dollar for safety because they still, the U.S. dollar is still the premier currency in the world. Everything seems to be priced in it, and there's been a lot of talk for a long period of time, and nothing has happened. I'm sure it will happen, but I'm more concerned that, you know, your digital currency could start trading, you know, in a week or something versus the BRICS creating a new currency valued in gold and destroying the U.S. dollar. So anyway, long-winded response. I'm watching the tape and the dollar doesn't seem to be affected.
Well, I'm just wondering if they had a gold-backed currency, couldn't, say, Western nations who aren't part of BRIC just refuse to sell gold to them and manipulate the price of their currency down that way in a trade war?
Absolutely. I mean, we know gold itself is manipulated. It's suppressed by the governments. It's leased out. We don't know what's actually in the vaults of, you know, at the various countries. We know some talk about acquiring gold. We know that Putin's been acquiring gold for a long time. You know, China has been acquiring it for a long time, and they understand history. You know, thousands of years, ultimately. Why do all these countries for thousands of years, including even up, you know, to recent days, still accumulate gold? Because they realize currencies are nothing more than paper, and ultimately they get, you know, they disappear. They just have no store of value through time. And, you know, there's a lot of conspiratorial stuff going on, and much of it is real. And we talked about this last week about how two J.P. Morgan traders are being sentenced for fooling around with the, I think it was a silver market in the futures market. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and this, my old contacts over at GATA.org and Bill Murphy over there have been documenting the gold suppression and manipulation among central banks and the U.S. government. For I believe about 20, 25 years, they've done a lot of research on it. So gold, if it hadn't been manipulated and it was really a true free market, would be a lot higher already. So, if they don't want it, they're going to suppress gold or play with it. They're going to play with the futures contracts on the COMEX, as they've done up to this point, or they'll lease it out, or, you know, suddenly it's not there or it is there. You know, when they did that tour of Fort Knox decades ago, they only went to one room. And there are, you know, dozens of rooms. We don't know where the gold really is, if it was sold or it's stored somewhere else, and that's just the U.S. story. So it's very interesting stuff. I think the charts and the tape will tell you, you know, in terms of what's happening with the gold market and the currencies. They sort of tell you the story. And at the moment, though I'm a bull on gold because I feel like it's a store of value, and each dog has its day, and we're due for another big run, and there's certainly enough negatives in the world right now that it should run. Will the powers that be allow it to happen? And that's really what it comes down to. So I'm just taking it a day at a time, and I'm sure it'll all change at some point. But, look at 1971 when Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard. And one of the reasons that happened, and if you remember history, Charles de Gaulle, the president of France, was holding U.S. dollars, the physical currency, and it said right on it, you know, backed in gold, you know, gold-backed currency. And, of course, they stopped printing that a long time ago. So he started turning in his dollars and saying, I want the gold. And, you know, we didn't have the gold probably to really pay them all off. So, you know, Nixon, you know, took us off the, you know, gold standard. And from 1971, we've, you know, essentially seen gold more or less go higher. Because, you know, apparently there's, you know, the ability to get it is not as easy as it used to be. So, interesting times.
Now, again, it seems like this war concerning the U.S. dollar, most of the members of BRIC are not democracies. Let's put it that way politely. Or just call them dictatorships. Is this really going to turn out to be a war between dictators and democracy, just like World War II?
I mean, the Allies versus the Axis.
Yes.
It seems to be turning out that way, doesn't it, on a certain level? I mean, we know Iran is now aligning with China a little bit. They've had meetings, and China trying to broker stuff in the Mideast. And we know China's not our best friend. And you know, their ability and intention to take over Taiwan could happen at any moment. They said they're going to do it. I'm sure they will do it. despite we send representatives over there. You know, it reminds me of, you know, during just before World War II, you know, where we, you know, England, you know, sent emissaries to Hitler, and they thought they had everything worked out, and Hitler attacks anyway. Same story. Putin said he was going to invade Ukraine, and he did it, and he gave you plenty of warning, and it's coming in China, and what does that mean? So these are adversaries, so they're Axis powers, so to speak, and how this will all play out. You know, we have such manipulation here in the U.S. stock market with the plunge protection team and all the nonsense going on with the Federal Reserve. I mean, it just, it's really just a joke, the whole thing. It's so complicated and ridiculous, and how money is being managed and the debt the country is in, and on and on and on. But, yeah, we have enemies in the world, and they seem to be joining forces. And it's funny with this BRICS thing, because one of them apparently is Brazil, which is what the B stands for in BRICS. So, you know, there's a lot of turmoil ahead, and you got to be aggressive, you got to be defensive, and you got to decide, you know, where you're keeping your money and how you're protecting yourself, because the pot is just turned on. It hasn't even boiled up yet. It's just starting.
Well, at one time too, the British sterling pound sterling, was the world go-to currency. Second World War, Britain's broke, and the U.S. dollar took over. Is this just a natural revolution or evolution of currency?
Yeah, that's it. You know, currencies are just paper, and I'm glad you brought up the British pound, because it's way down from where it was. The U.S. dollar's lost 98% of its value since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. It's just paper. We keep printing ourselves further and further into debt. The value of the currency goes down. So this is why you have to be in other things. You know, commodities are great. I mean, if you own a farm and you've got physical assets, whether it's the agricultural assets, whether it's gold and silver, whether it's real estate, you know, whether it's precious metals, or even rare metals, or copper. I mean, anything that's sort of physical that's really needed, you know, has a store of value and a need over time. That's where safety is, and you have to be diversified. So, you know, you may not see your price go up every day, and then, yes, it is volatile, but you have to balance that against it going to zero. I mean, the currency disappearing, and, you know, that could happen. I don't have a time frame for it. I don't think the dollar, what do they say, is the last horse in the glue factory. You know, it's the last one to go, and it will go, and we don't know when, but the way monies are being managed, and the way the Fed conducts itself, and the way money is being spent in Congress here, and then money is being spent in Canada, and the way the whole systems internationally. I shouldn't just blame U.S. and Canada. I mean, look at the euro and what they've done over there. Japan is doing its own thing. Japan is keeping rates as close to zero as they can, even though they upticked a little bit, but they own the Japanese market. They fully control it and own it and manipulate it. So there's so many games in town. You don't want to be in currencies, I mean, unless you're trading them day to day, but they all are, you know, fleeting assets in terms of long-term value. So that's why you have to be a bit of a trader, you know. Those were lucky enough to be in a stock like NVIDIA, which was the hot stock talked about for months and had a big show the last couple of days, had a bit of an orgasm when it shot up 50 points up to new highs overnight, and now sold off and trading today. But, you know, if you can trade stuff like that and make, you know, tons of money and put that money somewhere that you think is safe, whether it's treasury bills or precious metals or real estate, and you continue to do that, I suppose you can work yourself out of the stupidity of government. So just keep making the money, but put it somewhere where you think it's safe.
Yeah, when you say stupidity of government, been in the media business my entire adult life, and I can tell you, two jobs that where you don't need a diploma, certificate, training, parent and politician, and they're the two most important jobs on the planet.
Listen, you know, when you're if you're honest in the media, you know, you can really do some good things for the world. Unfortunately, yeah, you're one of the exceptions, but we have a distrustful, dishonest media that doesn't report stories or just, you know, changes the stories. And, you know, if people really knew what was going on, I think things would be a lot a lot different. They've elected different people, and the world, I think, would be a better world. So,
Mark, I think the big change in the U.S. was the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that media, or broadcast outlets, I should say, could be just as biased as newspapers have always been. Newspapers have traditionally always supported a certain politician or political party. Well, now broadcasters used to, in the U.S., by law, had to give you balanced coverage as far as they could, but now they don't. But they can do whatever they want and pretend that it's news when really it's just opinion or one point of view. So you just cover stories that support your point of view.
Correct. That's what you see at CNN and MSNBC and others. That's why, fortunately, we have some alternate media out there, and we have the internet, as long as, with Twitter now, and, perhaps, things will, a little more freedom of expression and, real news will be out there. But unfortunately, the big media, as you say, is biased and controls what we hear and see. So it's
It's not so much what they say, Mark. It's what they don't. What they don't tell you.
Correct.
Here in Canada, most of the big networks are owned by companies that sell cell phones. So they'll never tell you about the radiation hazards of a 5G phone. And how in places like in Australia, they're seeing 12-year-olds with brain cancer. 12-year-olds don't normally get brain cancer. But testicular cancer, with police officers who rest their radar guns on their crotches.
Oh, no.
Microwaves. So, again, cell phones, they're all like little microwave ovens. Cars that use radar now for automatic braking. They're irradiating every pedestrian on the street with radar or microwaves, the same stuff you cook your food with in a microwave oven.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, but the TV companies, being owned by companies that sell cell phones and put up cell towers, aren't going to run one story about that. You don't want to scare your customers.
Well, we can get back. We don't want to get into the COVID and all that stuff, which was a similar event as well. So, we don't get the truth, and you have to do your homework and research. And unfortunately, many are too lazy, and I have many of those in my own family, so I know what it's all about.
And now with AI, you can't even trust somebody's voice because they can clone your voice. We're getting scams here in Canada where someone calls up claiming to be a friend or a relative. You recognize the voice. You send them $10,000, and then you call them a couple of days later. Did the $10,000 work out? And they go, "What $10,000? It's a scary planet."
I know. In more ways than one, believe me. More ways than one. Look what happened in Maui the last couple of weeks. Talk about the scary stuff,
Yeah, it can happen to the nicest places on the planet.
Right.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with cryptocurrencies? Bitcoin has been making some massive moves the last few days.
Yes, and I'm excited because, it's one of our ongoing positive recommendations or comments in our newsletter. Had a little bounce here the last day or two. Of course, it dropped, quite a bit just before that. I mean, it topped out in mid-July, and it was like $32,000 a coin, and dropped all the way down about 26,000, so, and then bounced the last day or so. Needed a technical correction. I'm a big picture bull on it. Have been, I think it's going to go double or triple its present price, but it may take, 2-3 years for that to happen. And a lot of it has to do with distrust of what's going on in the world, governments and finance, the BRICS story that we just talked about. So I'm a big proponent of it. Yeah, so I, the question is how much of the government's going to stick its nose into trying to control it. the Securities and Exchange Commission here in the U.S., I believe, stated that it was a commodity and it's not something they're going to control. And there's also, I think they're holding up a little bit an ETF that BlackRock, Larry Fink, who's now behind Bitcoin, which is, you know, what's, he runs the largest fund in the world, was trying to get an ETF approved by the SEC to trade Bitcoin. So I think that pretty much tells you that it's here to stay. The SEC, I think, is trying to hold it up a little bit. You can do a, you can trade Bitcoin now with a ticker symbol GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust, which is not an ETF, but it tries to mirror the movement in the Bitcoin. So when you ask me what I think about it, I mean, the big player like that wants to do an ETF. Reminds me of when the World Gold Council, you know, a couple decades ago, got GLD approved as an ETF for gold. And what did that do? Well, it helped bring buyers in, because if you go buy the stock, they have to go out and buy the physical gold to represent your investment. So the bullish scenario, I think, is pretty much intact for Bitcoin, particularly if that ETF gets approved. Of course, you got several thousand other cryptos out there, and you got to make your own decisions. I mean, Elon Musk, who kept jumping up and down about Dogecoin, it's called Doge, D-O-G-E, I mean, had a run, now it's sitting on, in the cellar, didn't really go very far or stay up, though maybe at some point he'll pound the table and the Dogecoin will start to move. And you've got XRP, which had a little bit of a breakout, breakthrough, not a breakout, not into new highs, but start to move, you know, when the Ripple case with the courts seemed to go partially in their favor, because the SEC's been trying to shut them down. And so even though I hear now the SEC's trying to appeal the decision, but allowed anyone in the secondary market to own XRP versus those that bought in initially, there's different rules for that. But the fact that the secondary market apparently was approved by this court helps XRP. So there's a lot of fun stuff out there. And, you know, we have a blockchain letter, and we write about this every week, so you might want to check that out.
Mark, anything happening on our planet or to our planet and in the skies we should be watching right now?
I'm keeping an eye on stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. There was a story of an asteroid coming, but it's not going to get here to 2068, so I don't think I'm going to be around by then. It's really a big one, but hopefully by then we can blow it up. If you go to my newsletter, and one of the newsletters at the end, we have an article about that. And the very sad story is this Maui thing and the fire, and it's a lot of stories about what really happened there and what really didn't happen there. I mean, I just heard a story, it was on TikTok of all places, and I became more of a supporter of TikTok when I see some news being reported that's not being reported supposedly by the media. But apparently, I don't know if you heard the story or not, about 180 people's bodies washed up on the island of Lanai, which is near Maui. Apparently, they were washed out after the fire. They jumped in and got swept out by tides, and that's not even apparently being talked about in the media. So it was on TikTok, and we have to verify the veracity of that story. And then the whole story is how the fire was created. I don't know if you saw the stories on this, that it possibly could have been a space laser of some kind, like a space weapon, and there are supposedly pictures posted on the internet about this laser being shot from space. And we do know through the underground that, you know, the government has these lasers and they're testing stuff like that, and there's been videos for years about these things being shot from space. You know, whether that connects to the Maui situation or not. So that's the closest thing I have right now. It's really fascinating because it involves geocosmic and geopolitical issues.
Well, I was going to say, when you're talking about Lanai, yeah, if you're there in Lahaina or Kihei, there it is. It's just a short distance away. It looks swimmable, but it's further away than you think.
Right. These people didn't swim there, apparently.
Well, no, the tides there are really vicious. We are always warned when swimming to look out for rip tides. They'll take you out to the ocean. Swim parallel to the shore. At some point, it'll suck you back in, you hope.
Right. And I heard stories, and forget the Lanai body story that I just reported to you, that it was on TikTok. Apparently, even the people that just jumped into the water to avoid the fire. They had to fight for their lives not to be swept out because the waters were so treacherous to get away from the fire right outside of Lahaina. So, it was a nightmare. But there's an interesting also story. There's one house that survived. They have a picture of it on the internet, and apparently it survived because it had a red metal roof. And apparently, I always have been a big proponent of metal roofs just because I lived in a place where there was snow and they're good for the snow sliding off. But apparently, all the houses in that area did not. And when the cinders were flying around, they usually hit the roof first and then the house burns from the top down. So this one house, there's a picture on the internet, red roof, stands out like a sore thumb, perfectly intact, when everything around it was burnt. So that's... that's really interesting stuff. I guess that's a good lesson for future contractors.
And here in British Columbia, the lone house standing in a West Kelowna neighborhood where dozens of homes have just burnt down, made out of concrete, and the homeowner said, I took the advice. He said, I love the shade from trees, but I know they spread fire. And you plant succulents, which have a lot of moisture in their leaves, and they keep fires from spreading as well. All those, he said he followed all that advice, and his house is the lone one standing. People criticized him for building a house that didn't fit in with the character of the neighborhood.
Right, a lot of development.
Now he is the neighborhood. Mark,
so that's what's not much in the geocosmic with regard to solar flares or other things right now, but that was sort of a...
I also wonder, too, Mark, I also wonder, in places where you know there's a lot of wildfires, California, when they get the Santa Ana winds, it's the wind that's the biggest terror when it comes to fire. In Hawaii, it was going at nearly hurricane force, you know, sideways. Why isn't it mandatory to have a 500 or 1,000 gallon tank in a tower next to your or part of your $8 million mansion so that you could drain, you know, it would have a gravity fed sprinkler system? Why don't insurance companies say if you want coverage, you got to have one of those?
Sounds good to me, but start with the metal roof. It's probably the first step along the way, right? So, I had one in the past, and I was happy that I had it. I don't currently have one, but I don't think I have the same risk here where I live that I did when I had it in a previous location where there were a lot of trees.
You don't have a lot of towering redwood cedars or sequoias there in Arizona.
No, we got a few cactus, saguaro cactus, sticking up, and that's about it.
And again, that cactus is full of water. It won't burn very well.
Yeah, they do. Yep, that's true. That's true. They are full of water.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Talk to you next week, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to us at info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.